So let's continue where we left off. We just started a little bit. We did the first pasuk.
Could you mention
the
yard site?
Okay. So Mr. Cohen has yard site today for your father?
My mother's mother.
Your mother's mother. Her name is Rachel Bas Avraham Yitzchak. May the learning we do today be a merit for her neshama, and may in that merit, may her neshama have an aliyah.
Amen.
Okay,
and
so Rob.
To help you with it, there's some liquid refreshment.
What?
There's some liquid refreshment in here. The kind you like, the sweet. There's bourbon and the sweet. You're you can have a cookie.
Okay, we'll see later. Okay, so let's continue. We left a little over here. Let's do Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis says, so we have to first do the Radak. We didn't yet finish the Radak in Pasuk Aleph. So let's read the Pasuk Aleph one more time. And I'm reading the Pagan Perek Lam Zayin Pasuk Aleph. It was upon me the Yad of Hashem, and Hashem took me out the Ruach Hashem, in the wind of Hashem, the spirit of Hashem, Vayinicheni, and he placed me, positioned me besoch habik in the valley, Vihi Meleya Atzamos, and this valley was filled with bones. So we have over here, let's see the Radak. Radak Pasuk Aleph says, "Chayitzolai Yerashem by Yenicheni Kitagumoy veAshri Yani." Hashem positioned me in Yin Menucha. As we mentioned yesterday, we have like a contradiction. The Pasuk first begins by telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very strong. He was the Yad Hashem. Whenever it says Yad Hashem, it means has a connotation of turbulence, of agitation, of distress, of pain. The Yad Hashem, when it comes upon a person, it's not a pleasant experience. And then it says, Hashem took me out with the spirit, and he calmed me down. Hashem, he allowed me to achieve a state of menucha. Now, besoch habika, we learned this yesterday, ef shashihi habika shaba lo hanavua sham kevar. Since it says bika, so we have to always look for a precedent. Where else do we have the word bika in relation to Yecheskel? That is the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel with regard to the Maisa Merkava, Kamosh Amar, B'tchilas HaSefer, and I told you this is a Yisoid's Kedarik for the third time because it's such a good, powerful Yisoid is that Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no place in this world that is hidden from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meloy Chol Ha'aretz Kivaydai. Even the place of the Yavavai, the Atzamos Hayiveshais, the dry bones, the place where you would least expect the Ribbono Shel Olam to be found, due to the fact that, first of all, it's Tameh, there's Tuma, there is contamination, it's a mass burial plot. And number two, the people were not necessarily tzaddikim, So according to some of the opinions, the reason why these people died was not for a good reason, not for a pleasant reason. And furthermore, Yitzamos HaVeishas have the connotation that there's nothing. There's no lachluchas, there's no moisture. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does Hashem get out of this, out of being there? And the answer is no. Miloi chol aretz kevodo. And even in that makom, there's nothing less than the Maisa Merkava, the most mystical, the most glorious revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found even in the most hopeless, most desperate situation. And we quoted yesterday, you talked about the Holocaust. Was there ever a tikkuf in the history of the world? And I don't want to refer to negative. I'm remove all the negative connotations of the Tzimtzum Yevesheis. But let's just refer to the state of despair, the state of helplessness, the state of, like I said, helplessness and despair. There was no period in the history of the world like a Holocaust. And even in the Holocaust, we're learning over here, the Maisa Merkava, the Merkava was present for those who wanted to see it. Easier said than done, obviously. Who am I? Just opened up my mouth and talk like this, right? But that's at least the lesson we have to learn from this, yeah?
I wanted to ask a question. There are several instances in the Torah.
Right.
So you would see
the same principle.
So, yeah, but there it was unique. It would seem that the Baruch Hu brought the Shekhinah down. And I think at one place, I mean, Rashi says normally Hashem says, "I don't go down."
Right.
So how does that? coincide.
Well, the bottom one is Hashem does go down. Erdona, that's all part of the meaning. Erdona means you would think. I don't know if it's unusual. I don't know if it's unusual. Why would you say it's unusual? The Gemara does say that. The Gemara does say that the Aron makes a comment that the Aron was only 10 tefachim. You know how tall 10 tefachim is? 10 tefachim is like half the size of this table. Okay, it's like comes up like here, half the size of the table is the height of 10 tefachim. When you sit on your chair, it's probably about 10 tefachim, okay, where you're sitting on. That's the height of the Aron. And on top of the Aron was the Kapores, the Kruvim. And where did the Shechina rest? Bein Shnei HaKruvim, between the two Kruvim. So the Shechina came all the way down to the lowest part of the world. 10 tefachim above the ground is where the Shechina was resting. Hashem did it. Hashem allowed himself to come down. The Shechina, the most intense place of Shechina in this world, was in the Kodesh HaKodashim, Bein Shnei HaKruvim, which is 10 tefachim off the ground, which is the same area where we're sitting on right now. And on the ground, not over here, we're elevated above, you know, they build the buildings, they build it above the ground, go out into the street, sit on the floor, 10 tefachim. Chazal made a point to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he allowed himself to come down to the world. On Chanukah, you know, Chanukah, the halacha is supposed to put the menorah within 7 tefachim. 7 tefachim off the ground. I don't know, Kabbalah and Yanim, why? But so the Mefarshim point out that Chanukah is even bigger, is even greater than the Aron in the Mikdash. Because in the Mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem came down 10 tefachim. But Chanukah, you put the Ner 7 tefachim. Actually, they sell today, everything's a business, of course. So they sell like these low tables in the Judaica stores to put your Chanukah Ner on. Yeah, they have Heksha to put your Ner exactly 7 tefachim off the ground. Off the ground. Go into the Judaica stores, they sell these type of tables. The Shiloh, you have the menorah, is it the Ner or is it the menorah? Okay, you can be Mekel, you don't have to be Mamish the Ner. You put the menorah 7 tefachim off the ground, that's the location. Some put it on the floor. Some put the menorah Mamish on the floor so that the Ner should be.
In Israel, where they light the Ner outside.
Put it on the floor.
Has anybody seen it from my house? If I put it
you can see it. If you're walking in the street, near Rosh Hashanah.
People are going to see it?
No, if you're doing it in your house, obviously you have a problem. I'm talking about people, Maker Hadina, when you put it outside the house.
Awesome.
Outside. Okay, so, and even if you do it in the house, as many places can say, Bisman Hazed, there's no, the presumenis is for the Bnei Bayis. So for the Bnei Bayis, you don't have to put it by the window. You can just put it on your dining room table. You can put it anywhere you want in your house for people to see it. There are different minhagim. But there is such a concept. And the Mefarshim explained Chanukah, you see that Chanukah, the Inyan is HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down even lower than he came in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Aron, the Shechina does not descend lower than 10. But the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was very, very tall. It was 18 tefachim. An amah is 6 tefachim. So it was three amos. The neiros were already three amos tall, and there was a lot. There was steps going up. But the nace of the Chanukah is commemorated by putting the menorah lower than 10 tefachim to show that Chanukah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, came down even lower during the time of the Chashmonaim and the Yevonim. There were a lot of problems. The contamination of the Jewish people reached a very, very low level. It was a very, very great low level of spirituality. We misyavnim.
Could it be that the Shechina, in certain instances, is only there temporarily? Example, Har Sinai. The Shechina was on Har Sinai, they could go.
Only temporarily, right.
Once the Shechina left, about a year and a half or whatever it was later, they were allowed to go up.
There's no more Kedusha.
Yeah. Is that so? Like now,
Chanukah?
No, like the Maisim were now about to learn. Said Hashem comes down. Is that only a temporary thing, or?
Well, you're touching upon something very important. This whole of Maaseh, the Atzam Sayyivesha, the Gemara is a question: was it real? Did it really happen? Or was it just a vision? Was it just a vision in the mind of Yecheskel, or did it happen in the world of reality? So That will you? There are some very over here. We're going to learn a little bit later about from the mincha, from this parish called the Mincha Gedolim, has a fascinating interpretation of this Chazal, and it touches upon what you just asked: is this something that is temporary, or is this something which is permanent? Along those lines, and that's machlokes. There are different approaches to understand. Is in Galus, while we're waiting for Hashem to bring the Geula, and we do find the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing some supernatural things, is this a revelation that Hashem is always there? Or is it just a temporary measure for the moment to teach us something special? And then Hashem removes this extra special degree of Siyata Dishmaya. In Yeretz Hashem, we'll touch upon that a little bit. Let's just go for it. We can cover some ground. So over here, the next words are Vihi Malei Atzamos, the next Dibur HaMasal in the Radak, and this valley was filled with bones. Tirgim Yonison, Garmei Enosha. I guess Yonison is coming over here to tell you that don't make a mistake and think these bones were dinosaur bones. Okay? These are not dinosaur bones or fish bones or, I don't know, some type of creature. Animal bones with carbon dating, I'll tell you exactly when it was, how many billions of years ago. That's not the case. So here we're dealing with human bones. I just read a fascinating article about carbon dating. Carbon dating, they have now new evidence that the whole thing is baloney. Carbon dating is very good for about 1,000 years. It's very accurate. Once you get past 1,000 years, the science doesn't add up. Okay, and this is a big fraud that was perpetrated for many, many years. And now all the secrets are coming out of the closet. It's the carbon dating, what?
It's the Heisenberg principle. The more refined your instrument is to check.
Yeah.
The more it introduces force.
Okay, but they have now new revelations. It's amazing. It's extremely accurate for like 1,000, maybe even 2,000 years. But once you go back, once you get past that certain point, it's not.
Yeah, it does make a difference if it's 1,000.
It can be 10 million years and 3,000 years is all the same in carbon dating. There's a certain flaw in this technique of carbon dating. So they tell us the dinosaurs are whatever they are. It's not true. The Tosfos Yontov says maybe it is true. Maybe there were dinosaurs here around a billion years ago. Hashem made many worlds. Okay, there are many mahalchim. This is an old story. Let's go weiter. So over here he says, Garmei Enosha. He's adding a very critical word into the pasuk. Do not make a mistake. I think we're dealing with animal bones, fish bones. We're dealing with human beings. Human beings, and therefore that the Trias HaMeitzim is taking place with regard to a human being. V'inyin hazeh hereloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mashal. That's a very powerful word because that word is from a Gemara. The Gemara used this word, mashal. Ki b'nei Yisrael yetsu min ha-golos. Sheheim bo, the Jewish people, they have left the Golus, which they are in. Veheim bo kwatzomos hayveshois al derech moshal. Now, it's not really clear what he means to say, but the idea is, what it says later on in the Pesukim is that the Jewish people at this point in time are depressed, are severely depressed, clinically depressed. They have been exiled and they have given up all hope. 100%, there's nothing left. And they're like bones, atzamos, hiveshos, there's no lachluchis, there's no moisture. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yechezkel, I'm going to do a mashal, just like I'm going to do the impossible. These dead bones, these dry bones, are going to be resurrected. It is a mashal for Klal Yisrael, although now they are in a state of despair. A spark of life will regenerate within them and they'll come to life. They will return, there'll be a geula, they will thrive, and with them they will bring a revolution in the world to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, so that's what he says, it's a mashal. This whole thing over here is a mashal, v'hein bo'ke atzama sa'yveshos al derech mashal o'hero lo'y zeh. Laharos lo she'osid lahachayos meisei Yisrael be'is ha'yeshua kidei she...
Second
interpretation. It's not really clear the difference between the two. I don't really understand the difference. She'osid lahachayos meisei Yisrael be'is ha'yeshua kidei she'yiru gam heim ba'yeshua. The whole new idea is that the second idea is that there'll be Tchias HaMeisim. According to the first interpretation, it's not Tchias HaMeisim. The purpose over here is people who died. They're gone. They're in the next world. They're done. They don't need to come back to this world. We don't know, we have no clue what goes on out there. people who are in the next world, you read these Kabbalah Sfarim, I don't believe I've become so cynical and skeptical over the last couple of years, so none of things mean anything to me anymore. But some of these Kabbalah Sfarim, they basically say a neshama, after you leave this world, has so much pleasure in the next world, they have no desire to come back here. They have no interest. Like, we think all the action is here, right? We think the action is in Brooklyn. It's all in Brooklyn. This is where it's all happening. And then when you go somewhere else, you open up your eyes. Wow, there's a whole world out there. You know, who's interested in coming back to Brooklyn? I don't want to come back to Brooklyn. I'm having so much fun. Who knows, somewhere else in the Hamptons. I have no desire to ever return to Brooklyn. So they say such a concept is true in Olam HaEmes. A person leaves this world, he has such tainuk from the Ziv Nene, from the Ziv Hashchin in the next world, they have no desire. What? We don't know that, exactly. Exactly, it's all this. That's why I become so skeptical. I become someone, I'll tell you an example. Someone, I was sitting in a shul, and a guy was talking to a guy, and he says to me this thing which just got me so angry. He says to me that there was once a tikkuf in Yerushalayim 200 years ago. I don't even know when this was. He tells me, this person is a real Talmud Chacham, at least he appears to be, that there were Gedolim who wanted to institute a ban. You hear this? That an Alter Bacher is not allowed to walk into Yerushalayim. If you're not married, even an almain or a bachar who never got married, who's not married, if you're not married to a woman, you're not allowed to walk into Yerushalayim because of the kedushas hamakom. Someone who's not married has hirhurim, he has thoughts, nashim, he's out of control. He's out of control, so he's not in a state of tahara, and the kedusha of Yerushalayim does not tolerate such people. And they wanted to do this, and they were unsuccessful. They never instituted this ban. I'm looking at this guy. I'm looking at this guy. I said, "You're out of your mind. I don't believe this for one moment that such a thing is true." And if there were people who were true, these people, they're quacks. They're total quacks. Mr. Siegel, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. We have not seen you in such a long time. Bruchim Haboim. It's good to see you. Okay, so I think these people are total quacks. Okay, total quacks. If they even exist. If they could. The Torah says if there's a Zof, and there's a Balkari, there's Sholosh Machanois, there's Machanet Shechina, Machanet Leviyah, Machanet Yisrael. All of a sudden you're coming along now making new rules. Making new rules, telling you what to do. You
but
believe
you have it for Rosh Hashanah that you can't have a Baal Tefillah who's not married, who doesn't have a beard.
First of all, that's not necessarily true. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the ikur is. I once looked into this quite a bit. You're right. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodesh unless he's married. That's right. He has to be married. You're right. You're 100% right. But don't add more things to what the Torah says. The Torah says the Kohen Gadol has to be married to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. We didn't say in the Torah that you can't walk into Yerushalayim. Because you're not married? Oh, you absurd. What kind of crazy thing is this? What is it say such a thing in Shulchan Aruch? What is it such a thing in the Rambam? What are you making up new things for? I don't believe it.
So where did this thing start?
And I told this to someone who's a real Talmud Chacham, and he had even more violent reaction than me. So all of these things that you read... What? Of course he's married. So all of these things that you read about, you hear in Kabbalah, listen, no one came back to tell us. We have a Mesorah. We have a tradition. Okay, you can't just ignore everything. We know we're maminim, b'nei maminim, but there has to be a balance between what is real, and what we have to just acknowledge we don't understand. So let's get back to our topic of discussion. Over here, this idea where the first idea is there's no inyan of tchiyas hameisim. We're not dealing with bringing the dead back to life. This is something which is beyond our comprehension. It's true. It's one of the animamins. Okay, let's not make any mistake. It's one of the 13 principles of faith in the Rambam. that there's going to be Tchiyas HaMesim, but that's not what the topic of discussion is, according to the first parish of the Radak. The Radak of you is telling us a mashal. Yechezkel, we knew Tchiyas HaMesim. What's the mashal Tchiyas HaMesim? Is that the nation will rise up once again. The individuals who have died, they're going to come back to life. We believe this, but it's not something which is we can comprehend in this world. The second parish of the Radak says, no, the focus of the discussion is the people who have died, the people who have died in Golos, the people who have suffered, who were exiled and died in the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they themselves will come back to life to witness the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. That's a very, very big jump. That's a very big leap. It's a very big leap in the parish of the Radak to explain exactly what's taking place in these psukim. That's what he says in the second parish. In the second parish of here, he says that one more time, she'osel lahachios meisei Yisrael be'es ha'yeshua k'dei she'yiru gam heim ba'yeshua. They themselves should see the salvation. In this week's parasha, we have over here, is it this week or last week's parasha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt in the presence of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rashi says, it's a pasuk in the sixth parasha, that at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem, he resurrected, it seems, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so they can watch. They can watch the promise Hashem has made to them that their descendants will leave Egypt and will come into Eretz Yisrael. They should witness this firsthand. Okay, so there's such a thing. Now, the Yesh, was a machlokes, Tanya, Rabbi Elizur, Oimbe, Mesim, Shechi, Yecheskel, Omdu, Al Raglaim, Vi Omru, Shira. So what happened to these people? They came back to life and they sang Shira. Umash Shira Omer. What was the Shira? They said, Hashem Memis Mechaye. Hashem brings death and Hashem gives life. Memis Betzedek. He brings death through righteousness. Umechaye Berachamim. And he gives life with pity. Okay. Rabbi Yeshua says, Shira Zu Omer. A different Shira. Hashem Memis Umechaye. Moirid Sha'ol. He brings down to the grave. Vayoal. And he brings up. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what is the difference between these two opinions? Isn't this a very, very, very interesting thing over here? They're giving two different examples of what the Shira is. So, and we're defining the essence is an amazing Chazal, because this Chazal is coming to Fataych, the meaning of Shira. Oz Yashir Moshe Uvenei Yisrael. Taych for me, Shira. Song. Okay, that's way, way too vague. It's way, way too abstract. What is song? This Maim Chazal is telling us Machlokes Tanoim, the translation of Shira. Yes. According to the first opinion, you know what Shira is? Shira is Tzidek Hadin. Yeah. Okay, fascinating. Tzidek Hadin. Hashem, I deserve to die. I died, I have sinned. Chatos Yavisi Pashati. Hashem HaTzadik V'ani. I acknowledge Tishavav. Yoshio, what was his godless? Tzadiku Hashem, ki piu marisi. He was matzdik love esadin. Look at the words of Gor. What was the Shira Hashem memis umechaye? Memis bitzedek. Tziduk adin. Umechaye berachamim. You bring me back to life more than I deserve. I don't deserve it. And life is rachm. That's the taich of Shira. Tziduk hadin, I acknowledge I'm guilty, and everything that you gave me in this world is more than I deserve. Rabbi Yeshua Meir, no, that's not pshat Shira. Shira is Hashem Emes U'mechaye, Morit Shol V'yoal. There's no tziduk hadin. That's the difference between these two. It's just to give to sing song. It's just to praise Hashem for what He has done, without the acknowledgement of guilt, without recognizing that I don't deserve it, and you give me more than I deserve. And why would he say such a thing? It's very silly, because that's not Shira has a connotation of being happy. If part of your song is to say to Hashem, I don't deserve this. I'm an evil man. I'm guilty. I have done terrible averos. Are you happy? Are you really happy? You're not happy. You're ashamed. And if you're ashamed, does that prevent you from expressing the praise of Hashem? I believe not. I believe when a person is in a state of shame, in a state of humiliation, subconsciously, your mind shuts down, and the way you acknowledge, you thank Hashem, you're very gracious, you're very kind, but you're not overflowing with happiness because you've been humiliated. You're humiliated. Okay, when you go to a wedding, and so you see someone who's very happy to get married. Are there such people out there? But you go to a wedding, you see people that are very happy. Are they thinking about what's so funny?
It lasts like Shiva,
7 days. It lasts even that long? It lasts even that long? I was told that it doesn't last. It doesn't even last until the next morning. That's what I was told. Okay, very optimistic there. 7 days, wow, it's a long time. But in any event, if a person is in a state of humiliation, is he able to give over to Hashem song? When people are very happy, they're not thinking about humiliation. You go to a wedding, they're very happy. They're not humiliated. They're just enjoying the moment. If you are in a state of tzedek hadin, that holds you back from your joy. Shira has a connotation of joy. So we have over here two different opinions. It's a major, a fascinating insight in this Gemara telling us what is Shira. The only difference between these two opinions is, do we acknowledge tzedek and rachamim? The first opinion says yes, and the second opinion says no. When you go back and you study all of the shiras of the Torah, it's very interesting that most of them do acknowledge, or some of them do acknowledge tzedek. Okay, in Shiras Hayam, I don't remember all the details, but we say it every single day in davening, so we should really understand the depth. But it appears that in Shiras Hayam, I think there are references to an acknowledgement of tzedek and rachamim. Dayan ho'emes is not tzedek hadin. Let's not get confused. No. Dayan ho'emes does not include the word tzedek. In order for it to be tzedek hadin, there has to be the word tzedek. In the cemetery, before the kvura, the ravelim recite tzedek hadin. Okay, I think it's 12 psukim that express the concept of tzedek. There's no bracha. There is no bracha, shem u'malchus, on tzedek hadin by a levaya, by any form, and the bracha of dayan ho'emes is a whole different world. It's an acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. Whatever Hashem does, emes. I'm not coming now to say you're right, Hashem. That's to say that Hashem is tzedek. Versus saying emes is a different world. We discussed this before Tisha B'Av. The only time you have a bracha of tzedek hadin is Shabbos, after the reading of the Haftorah. The first bracha you make when you finish the Haftorah is the bracha on tzedek hadin. Hakel atzur kol ha'olamim, tzadik b'chol hadarois. Tzur comes from hatzur tamim pa'alo ki chol derachav mishpat. Hashem is perfect. Okay, that's tzedek hadin. Hatsur kol lomim adon tzadik b'chol hadarois hakel haneman ha'imer v'yaseh hamadam mekayim. And in fact, chol emes for tzedek. Okay, the only time we make a bracha on tzedek hadin is Shabbos after we read the words of the prophets, because the prophets are the ones who told us that's the contribution of the prophets. The main tafkid of the Nevi'im is tzedek hadin. That's the prophet. To show us that Hashem is right. We don't need the prophets to say Dayan ho'emes. We don't need them. We can take all the Nevi'im over here on the shelf, take this whole bookcase over here, and you can put in Geniza. We don't need them. We don't need the Nevi'im to teach us to teach us that Hashem is emes. Emes is something which you have no choice. Hashem will look back and we'll go all the secular history books, see that all our problems. Nope. What can we say? Hashem is emes. I can't fight the Ribbono Shel Olam. You put me in this world. That's the way it is. The tafkid of the Nevi'im is to show not just dayan emes, is to show that Hashem is tzedek. Everything that happened to us, we deserved. We deserved. It was predicted. It's because of our shortcomings, because of our averos. That's the tafkid of the Nevi'im, to upgrade us from a matzav of Dayan Ho'emes to a Matzav of Tzedek Ho'emes. And that's why we make the bracha B'davka when we finish the words of the Nevi'im every single Shabbos. And then we explain that's why the minik is, it should be, where we give an Ovel Mitoich Yud Beis Chodesh, the Maftir every single Shabbos. That's what it says in the Sifrei Halacha. The one who lichatchila should receive the maftir every single Shabbos is an ovel mitoch yud beis chodesh, because he is the one who needs to say the bracha of tzidok hadin. He never said it. He never said it by the funeral. He never said it in the cemetery. He just said dayan ho emes. He said psukim. But now when time has passed, he's no longer bitoch the Shiva, he's past the Shiva, now time heals all wounds, he's able to look back and reflect upon what has happened, he's now able to go to a higher level and say, Ribbono shel Olam, at the time of the funeral, I was only able to say that you're the Dayan Ho'emes, now I can come and I can say that you are Tzedek. I can say Tzidok Hadin. Now we don't do this today because we view Maftir as a kibud. We got to go give it to all of the successful people. So we take it away from the other. We should. There are Avelim that shop go around, and there are places that still do this. There are places when they have no one else to give the Maftir to. They follow the halacha and they give the maftir to an ovel mitoch yud beis chodesh. That is how it is. Okay, and also another time, the other time that we do that is very common is you give the ovel a maftir the Shabbos before the yard site. Okay, that's common. That's very common. When the yard site is bo bayom, you don't give him maftir. You don't give it to him. Maftir is bo bayom on Shabbos. You do not give. You're not supposed to give the ovel maftir. You give him in a regular aliyah. You give a regular aliyah. You bedafka, don't give him after. Maybe it's because it's like, you know, on the yard site, you have raw nerves. You have tainus on Hashem. Maybe on a yard site, you can't say tzidik hadin. You can't really say it. Tzidik hadin, you have to be in the right frame of mind. So after Shiva, during Yud Beis Chodesh, you can say tzidik hadin. On the yard site, you get all worked up. You get all these memories. Your mind is flooded with memories, and it's very painful. So can I say Hashem, you're a tzaddik? You know, we're living in the time of Hester Panim. It's not easy to say that Hashem, you're a tzaddik. You can say Hashem, you're a dying emes, but should I say you're a tzaddik? It's interesting. You bedafka don't give an ovel maftir when the yard site is bo bayom. When do you give him? You only give him when it's not bo bayom. It's the Shabbos before. It's not in their intense mode. Okay. So a little bit here, beautiful yisoid, a machlekes, the taich of shira. Does shira include within the concept of? Does include in the concept of tzidik hadin? Next. Rabbi Yeshua Meir Shizor Meir Shizor. Next, now we go to Rabbi Yehuda Meir Shizor Meir Shizor. Rabbi Yehuda Meir Be'emes Moshel Haya. Okay, Be'emes is a very powerful word. It means Lahalacha. It's a Moshel. What's the Moshel? That, in other words,
so he doesn't go on.
Doesn't explain.
Well, isn't it the Moshel from before?
No. So no. That's the question. See that's the mystery. What does he mean when he says Moshel? The simplest interpretation is. Oh, this is the word of the Gemara. Is it never happened? It never happened. What? A vision. He did not actually bring back to life the dead. The simple interpretation is Moshel Haya. It was in his mind. It was a prophecy in his mind, like the Ramban talks about. Some of the events in Chumash were not real events. They never really happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Bris Ben Absarim, the whole Shiloh didn't really happen. It was just in a vision that Avraham Avinu experienced. Is a very controversial thing to say that. Okay, we don't like talking like that, but there are Rishonim that do go with that Mahalich. And so he says, Moshel Haya, it never really happened. It was just in his mind. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef Rabbi Yosef Glili Oimer Mesim Shehecheye Yecheskel Moshel, what are you talking about? These are real people. They got up out of the dead. Shech Yecheskel Olier Yisrael V'nosu Noshim, and they got married. They came back to life. They made aliyah. They got married. V'halidu banim, they had children. Ubanos and daughters. Omad, Rabbi Yehuda ben Basera, al Raglav, v'Omar. That's right, I'm an Enikol. My Zayda, my great-grandfather, he was one of those people that came back to life through Yecheskel. V'yomer ani b'bnei b'neiem v'halalu tefillin she'niach li avi abba mehem. And here are the tefillin that I inherited from my great-grandfather who came back to life. Now, why is that so important? Here's the shirt off his back. What's the tefillin? I don't know. Obviously, there's something very deep here, but it's, why did he give that example?
This is in Parakeh, right?
Yeah. This is coming up, Sadi Beis. It's coming up not that far, not soon enough. V'yamru, mihoyo meisin. Now, the next issue of Yamru. Now, one thing the Gemara leaves that over here, which I think the Gemara says, I don't know why he left it over here, is that according to the first opinion that says that they said Shira, they died immediately. In other words, they came back to life. Yechezkel brought them back to life. They sang Shira, and then they went back into their graves. And they came back, they reverted back to the Atzamo Sideshes. So how long were they alive for? 5 minutes. As long as it takes you to say Shira, that's it. They had a very short stay in this world. The second opinion has never even happened. So they didn't even come back to life for one moment. The whole thing was just purely in the mind of Yechezkel. And the third interpretation is, what are you talking about? These were regular people, they had Tchias HaMeisim, they went to Eretz Yisrael, they got married, they had children, they lived full lives, and I'll prove it to you, I even have tefillin from my great-great-grandfather. Okay, next. Where
did he get the tefillin?
Where did he get the tefillin from? Where did that one get the tefillin from?
Pashas
means that after they came back to life. Very good. So why is that significant? That means they came back to life. The first thing they did when they came to show that we're alive is they made for themselves new tefillin. They had a new lease on life, and with the new lease on life, they wrote for themselves a new pair of tefillin.
They couldn't have tefillin before.
Why couldn't they have tefillin before?
They were not in Har Sinai.
What do you mean? What do you mean Har Sinai? This time
first of all,
that's another question. Who are these people? That's the next topic. All right, good point. The next topic is these bones, at what point in time did they die? So even the earliest opinion says they were at Har Sinai. The earliest opinion says the bones were from Bnei Ephraim. Bnei Ephraim who left Egypt. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry, you're right. Who left Egypt 30 years in advance. That was before Matan Torah, so they didn't have tefillin. Right, very good. So you're saying you're making a very good point.
The
recording.
That they made tefillin, Chol Nafshecha, Chol Me'edecha, that you can't have that if you're dead bones. You've got to be alive to be able to say.
But every mitzvah is like that. Why bedafka the tefillin? Why bedafka the tefillin? I don't know. It's a very strange thing. It's a very interesting idea. Why daf is a good chomer for a bar mitzvah pshat, a bar mitzvah drasha. Why bedafka the people who came back to life? Your grandson is getting bar mitzvah soon. You have some chomer over here. These people, they came back to life. When they came back to life,
I don't know if I want to use this.
They made tefillin. Okay, whatever. This is a very, very interesting idea. I think at least you can learn from this. When a person is zoicha to come back from the brink. You see, it's a time when he should make himself new tefillin. He should buy a new pair of tefillin as a renewal. It's a sign of renewal to purchase a new pair of tefillin. So it says over here. Let's go over here one more time. Who are the they? So the first is Elibin Ephraim. Shemanu leketz v'tov. They left Egypt 30 years too early. They made a calculation when to leave, and they made a mistake. This is the pasuk. Uvnei Ephraim su sholach bino v'harogum anshei gas. Okay, here it's the Radak says that they were killed by the anshei gas. Vayisabel Ephraim avihem. Ephraim, their father, mourned over their death. Opinion number two. Shmuel says el bnei adam shekafru b'tchias hameisim. Now that's an amazing idea. People who now doesn't say over here at what point in time they're not giving us an historical moment in time. All it's telling us, these are people who denied Tchias HaMesim. And that's an amazing concept, because look who Hashem did Tchias HaMesim to. Hashem was Mechayim Mesim specifically, the people who denied Tchias HaMesim. You would expect if Hashem over here wants to use these people as a marshal for Klal Yisrael and do Tchias HaMesim, so he would take people who are believers, who have other issues.
We said before, possibly that this fits in that they were only momentarily brought back to show themselves and anyone else that it is a possibility. This is not talking about the future, the ultimate
Tchias HaMesim. Right, but still, at this moment in time, if it was near you, what if you go?
We know they're not entitled to Olam Haba.
We don't know nothing. How do we say that?
You know that because you're not.
Someone's a kofin chiyas
amesim. It's certainly not going to get that because you know. Why should you reward?
These are very mystical things. These are mystical things. But any event, it's very striking. If Hashem wants to do a mashal to show that there's going to be, you should not despair, there's going to be a geula, and he wants to give an example of Tchias HaMesim, so who would he select? There are only billions of people who have died. So who would he select to be Mechayim Mesim to show the world that don't despair? Believers.
Especially if it's only a temporary effect.
Okay, believers. And yet, Ruach Hashem bring back to life.
Believers, yeah. Why would you make their effect temporary? On the contrary, it's people who are non-believers,
yeah,
to demonstrate because you're only going to produce a temporary effect.
If it's temporary,
yeah.
And let's say it's a permanent effect.
Permanent effect, then no.
Let's look at the other opinion that says that they live regular lives. There was Tchias HaMeis. They went to Eretz Yisrael. They live regular lives. Why should they deserve Tchias HaMesim? For all people, these are the ones who denied Tchias HaMesim.
To make the point
to show that even in the worst matzav of despair,
here we're going to show you why you should believe.
Because even a non-believer,
God,
Hashem went to the extreme. Okay, another answer, Yochanan says, Elu Mesim Shebebikas Dura. This is a more recent event. This was Nebuchadnezzar. These are people who died very recently. What happened with these people? They came to Bavel, and they did not, I don't even know exactly what happened. Nebuchadnezzar killed them.
Parenthetical filling in. It says these were handsome youths whose very appearance excited the Babylonian women to the extent that they experienced bleeding, which would not cease until the youths were slain and their bodies crushed.
Okay, a very bizarre event. They came down to Bavel, and Nebuchadnezzar killed them.
I assume it continues in the
Yeah. Practice. No, that doesn't continue.
Okay. God showed these bones to Yechezkel to symbolize the revival of the Jewish people in which they will emerge.
Right, that's what we're going to come to over here. Right, and that's
after
a symbolism.
Having been like dry bones.
Okay.
It's also possible that he showed them this vision to teach him that at the time of the future redemption, the dead will be resurrected in order for them to share in the redemption.
Who said
that? The Gemara says
he's saying Radak. He's going to Radak. Radak is obviously.
That's the beginning of the Radak. That was the Moshe said in the very, very beginning. Okay, but the idea over here is the point.
He doesn't go in the same order because then comes all the other things that we just mentioned.
But the idea over here, the last idea over here mentioned in this section is that there were three opinions as to who these people were. It was either Bnei Ephraim, or it was people who denied in Tchias HaMesim, and we do not have a period in history who are we are referring to. And the third opinion says these were young men who were killed by Nebuchadnezzar at the time of the Churban. Okay, and they were killed in the valley of Dura because, as you mentioned, because these men, they were very beautiful, and they caused the non-Jewish women to have a very intense desire for them. And the only solution to take away this sickness that they were undergoing was that they should be put to death, whatever that means. It's a little bit beyond our understanding.
But then to revive them, that makes more sense because they were innocent of anything.
Oh, okay. So in that interpretation, they were totally innocent. The first two interpretations, they were guilty. Bnei Ephraim were guilty because they made a calculation and they went out early. And the second opinion says certainly they would deny Tchias HaMesim. The third opinion, they did nothing wrong. And therefore they deserve to be, at least to some degree, there was no question why they were resurrected.
Which
Gemara is this for? Chelek in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Beis. Daf Tzadi Beis. Daf Yomi now is Daf Chof Beis. Okay. So coming up not so far ahead. Okay, now let's now go to the next pasuk. Okay, the next pasuk says, before we go, I'll tell you one medrash. This pasuk is the makar that Yechezkel was not zoiche to kavura in Eretz Yisrael. Yechezkel was critical of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to see that soon, and according to one interpretation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a punishment, as it says in the Medrash, he was buried in Chutz La'aretz. I think they still have his kever today. Where is it? In Iran?
No, I think...
Iraq?
I think it's Iraq. I think we looked for this before.
Okay, so it says...
At least reputedly.
Right, it's not nothing is for sure. Hoy sola yad Hashem v'yotzi'eni v'ruach Hashem v'yinicheni. He put me b'soich habik v'hi v'yinicheni means death, rest. Yavoy al meshkavoy b'shalom. The ultimate rest is the grave, and it says where is his grave? B'soich habika. The bika is in chutz li'aretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. Let me read you the medrash. Okay, this is Perek Lamed Zayin. Dover Acher, here's a Medrash Agada in Shemos. Kishamla Asichya Atzamos. Look at this, we have been company at this part. He was buried over here in Chutz Liaris. Okay, we have to really go further to understand that matter, so I'll leave it for later. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Beis.
Yeah, it's in Iraq. It used to be very popular for Iraqi Jews to visit it.
The kever of Yechezkel Hanavi. Because that's Tzomus Yevashos. That's when we read the Haftarah. That's Tzomus Yevashos. Okay, very good. Pasuk Beis, Vevirani Alehem Saviv Saviv. So Hashem, he took me around. Saviv Sav Hashem. Now the problem here is Yechezkel is a Kohen. So what is a Kohen doing in a cemetery? What is a Kohen doing in a cemetery? Vevirani Alehem Saviv. The problem is Hashem did not take a mamish into the cemetery. Hashem took him to the outskirts. Saviv Saviv on the outskirts of the cemetery to see what's doing. Vevinei Rabbis Mode. There were many bones. Al Pnei Abika. They were extremely dry. Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Elai. Ben Adam. Now here is a very, very important pasuk. Hashem said to me. Hashem spoke to me. Ben Adam. Yechezkel is called Ben Adam. Hasechyenu Hatzomo Soile. What do you think? Do you think I, Hashem, have the power to revive, to resurrect these bones? Can I do? You think I can do it? What do you think, Yechezkel? What do you think of my power? How powerful do you think I am? Voimar. So Yechezkel, I said to Hashem, Hashem Elokim, Ato your daughter. You know what to do. What does that mean? It's extremely vague. Sin, do what you want, or you know if you can, you can't. It's up to you. What's going on here? It's very disturbing. What is Hashem even asking him a question? What's Hashem asking him a question? So indeed, I'll tell you before you even go further, there were four people in Tanakh whom Hashem asked questions to. Hashem set them up. Three of them gave the wrong answer, and one gave the right answer. Who are the four people? One, Kayin, Ayei Hevel Achicha. Where is Hevel, your brother? Okay, so what did Kayin say? Hashem Rochi Anochi, what do you want from me? Okay? Strike. That was not the right thing to say. Okay, Bilam. Bilam, okay, it doesn't say, here in the Medrash, doesn't tell me, it doesn't say all the different questions, but Hashem said to him, why did he hit your donkey?
No, is that it, or is it?
There are a few questions. There are a few questions. There's more than one question. Why did he hit the donkey, or the Malach said that really to Bilam? Hashem said, who are these people with you? Okay, right, there are a few questions. And Chizkiyahu. What happened with Chizkiyahu? I don't know. What happened with Chizkiyahu? I think he was when Malka Shiva came. So Hashem said to Chizkiyahu, "Who is this? Who is this queen that you brought into the Beis Hamikdash? You took her into the Kodesh HaKodashim and you showed her. Oh no, it was also Meroidach Biladan. Who is this guest? This distinguished guest that you took into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Who is he?" So Chizkiyahu says, This is Meroidach Biladan. This is the king of Bavel. So that was not, Hashem was not very, so what is Hashem asking? Hashem knows the answer. Why is Hashem asking, who is this person? Hashem is asking Cain, where is your brother? Hashem is asking Bilam, who are these people? Hashem knows the answer. Hashem is asking them the question in order to engage them in conversation and to open them up. And three of these people, these three, they all said the wrong answer. Yecheskel, according to this particular message, which is not according to all opinions, he gave the right answer. Hashem said to Yecheskel, Yecheskel, do you think I can bring back to life these bones? And Yecheskel says, Ato Yodoto, you know the answer. What are you asking me? Right, what are you asking me? Just like when it came to the desolation, Hashem, where is your brother?
He's playing his
Hashem,
game.
You're the Kol Yachal. You know where my brother is. What are you asking me? Who are these people? Hashem, you know who they are. Who is this king that you took into the Kodesh HaKodashim? Hashem, Ato Yodoto. The correct thing for all of the other three were to say also, Ato Yodoto, you Hashem know. Let's. What are you trying to do? You're setting me up? You know the answer. What are you fooling me? The only one that got the answer, said the right thing, was Yecheskel. Let me read you the words inside this medrash so we have more precision and understanding. Here the words are Mitzon. Let me read the whole thing over here. Arba Hain. There are four people. Shehikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kan Kanon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he banged on their pitcher. Hashem, like, he knocked on their heads.
Where is this kind of
medrash? This medrash is in Bereishis Rabba, Perek Yutes. Classic. There are four people at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is hikish. He knocked Al Kan Kanon on their container. Like you want to go, you want like a bottle on the like back on their head. Leida to know im yishaver olo, to see if they will crack or not. Koch shomu l'shparuchu l'nasayisam, Hashem tested them. He asked them an obvious question, a question which really makes no sense, in order to test them. Ha'im bir oisam sheshoyalam, when Hashem asked them, kimi she'enu yodea be'in yinehem, yakchishu b'yidiyasai. Or maybe they will acknowledge. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes believe, and this example is very, it's fascinating. Yeah. Hashem is making believe, feigning ignorance. I don't know the answer. I really don't know. This world, in this world, there are things that are concealed from me. That's a very big nisayon for a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say something to you which gives you the impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not know what's taking place in this world. So how a person from his whole life is brought up with the hashkafa that Hashem is the Kol Yachol. Hashem knows what we think. Hashem knows everything. There's nothing. The ain, what do we say in the Nusach and Rosh Hashanah? I call the ain nela mi negede necha. There is nothing concealed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's very bizarre. He asked these questions of these three people. Who are they? So it was Umitzon Kankanim, and what did he find? Umitzon Kankanim Shal Meme Raglayim. Okay, what does the Medrash say? Three of these four people, when Hashem banged on the bottle to see what's inside, he discovered urine. Urine was inside. And who are we saying this about? Cain, Chizkiyahu, and Bilam. Hashem asked them a question. He made believe he does not know. And Hashem was very disturbed when the people actually believed the answer they gave the connotation. They actually believed that Hashem does not know what's going on in this world. So Hashem said about these people, you're nothing more than a container filled with urine. Meiraglayim. Now, the truth is, a person is a container. A person has a bladder. And a kankan is a leather utensil, a leather jug. So the truth is, every person indeed really is a kankan shel mei raglayim. The Gemara talks about noshim. Noshim. Why does the whole world, why are they chalishing for women? They're nothing more than a leather container filled with blood dam and lecha, whatever, some uncomplimentary statement. What's so the truth is, a person indeed is ikankan mole me raglayim. However,
but more than that,
but to be more than that, you have to show it. You have to use your intellect. You have to go and rise up. Then we're not going to focus on the fact that there's a bladder filled with me raglayim. We'll focus on the mind, on the brilliance of the person, on the yirah shamayim. But these people failed miserably, And therefore, all Hashem has to say about these people is, you're nothing more than a leather container filled with mei raglayim. Who was the exception? The exception was Avol Yecheskel. He's the one that gave the right answer. He says, Hashem, what kind of crazy question is this, Hashem?
His answer was, is that a trick question?
Exactly. Ato Yodato, what are you telling him over here? Avol Yecheskel mitzoy baki mikulam, he was a baki. Shenemar, ben adam hasachyenu atzam sa'ilu v'oyma ala Hashem alakim. Ato Yodato, what are you setting me up over here? You know the answer to this question. Okay, so this is an unbelievable medish. This medish is mamish. Ah, four people, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he asked them a trick question, three got it wrong, and one got it right, and we have this insulting term of mei raglayim. Let's see over here in the Mitzudos, Pasig, Beis, and Gimel. Ve'avirani, hevi oisi samach lohem eslem sivivoysam leman yira echusam v'chamusam. Hashem brought me near these bones in order to see their echus, their quality and their quantity. What kind of people are these people? Okay, so right, Betzuda says, well, before I say, he did not, we was saviv, not mamish, it's not to touch it, because he was a koyein, and he was not allowed to be metame lemes. And we'll see in a few moments, other poskim, other rishonim disagree. And this is an amazing idea, because pikuach nefesh, since now he's going to bring them back to life, ein dover oimeid mibnei, Bikuach nefesh. Now you'll say to me, that doesn't make any sense. Bikuach nefesh, when the person is alive, you want to go to someone that's alive, so you're allowed to go do things in order to someone who's alive. You can.
He's not doing it.
No, so we're going to see soon that he is doing it. Okay, that's what Mr. Rappaport focused on. That's the question. According to the Mitzudos, he did not enter the cemetery.
No, what cemetery? They were coming out of Mitzrayim, let's say, according to...
So they were buried, the gas.
Where were they buried? The gas?
In the field, or whatever, wherever they were buried. Whatever
he
they
went
were.
From where he was to where they were.
Yes. He went, Hashem took him in a ruach.
A special sign said, cemetery of the...
Not necessarily.
No,
it was Al-Pi Ruach HaKodesh. It was the ruach Hashem that took him to the location. And
so
Hashem,
he didn't know where the cemetery is.
Hashem told him. Hashem told him where it is.
What was it? It was 300-400 years later?
Well, it depends.
Oh, please, it's a long
walk. No, Yitzhak, they first built the Beis HaMikdash 480 years.
What cemetery was left there after 900 years?
It's not a cemetery, it's a thing. That's why the
it was a field.
That it was a dream.
That's what we discussed that. We discussed that before. Okay, but let's learn Parshat Shadow was real. If you learn it was real, Eino Chanami, this just basically means this is the location revealed. You don't know what's buried underneath the veil. Even today, we don't know what's buried over here. We don't know where we are in this building. Who knows? Maybe you go, we dig down, you'll find bones. Indians.
So let's say they killed him there after
grandma. Yeah.
He got gas. You think when the people killed him, they buried him?
Maybe not. It says here it was covered over. There was a mass grave. Whatever it is, it says over here, these are the bones of the dead. Hashem revealed. Was it a formal cemetery with a fence and headstones? Not Mestaver. What?
So Hashem brought him to the middle of the cemetery. He said, you're in the cemetery. So what's he going
to
say?
Well, according to Hashem wouldn't do that. Hashem wouldn't cause you to do an Aveira. According to the Mitzudos, in Echnami, Hashem would not set him up. Hashem would not cause him to become Tomei. Hashem brought him Saviv. Because you're a Kohen Yecheskel. I'm not in the business of causing people to do Averos. And therefore, I'm not going to bring you into this. I'm going to bring you on the perimeter of the cemetery, and you're going to see from the distance. And therefore, from here, you're going to be Mechayim Esim. According to other Mefarshim, they say no. Hashem brought him in the cemetery itself. How are you allowed to do that? Pikuach Nefesh. What's the Pikuach Nefesh? To resurrect the dead is the ultimate Pikuach Nefesh.
And that's only according to those who say that. Yeah.
Right, of course.
If they were Yevashos,
yeah,
they could have been duster it.
No, obviously we're not. The fact that it says at Somos, right. It means they did not yet decompose. The bones did not yet decompose.
And that's the basis for the loose bone. That's
the loose bone never was destroyed.
The dinosaurs today.
Yes.
They're all bones that have been turned into stone.
Because of age. Okay,
right?
Yeah.
So what you have is,
but it's still called an etzem, even though it's a bone, even though it's a stone, it's still halacha called a bone as metame. It's metame. If you have a human being, the remains of a human being that's 3,000 years old and has turned into what you call stone. L'chayro, it's metame. If you have roivat samois, it's metame. And even if the bones decompose into dust, it's rekev at samois. Miloy tarvot of rekev is metame. It's a ladleful of dust, of bone dust, also metame. So there's no doubt, according to all opinions, if this happened for real, there is real tumah. This real Toma, what is Hashem doing? Setting up Yecheskel to do an Aveira. He's a Koyein. He's now becoming Tamei Lemes.
If you are Tamei, so yes. You're the bone, you become alive. When you become alive, what happens to the Toma?
Good question. The Pesukim discuss this question. At the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, will the Mesim need Hazah Paraduma water? Because of themselves. Since they have come from the dead, at Tchiyas HaMesim, will every single person who comes back to life require a baby that's born? Does a baby who's born need to go to the Paraduma water? Definitely not. So how do we view Tchiyas HaMesim? Is Tchiyas HaMesim to be viewed as, we take into consideration the fact that you came from the dead, you need Hazah Paraduma, or is Tchiyas HaMesim like a yelet? It's like a tinoik shenoylat. Dummy. If it's a teenage shenoyla, then there is no need for a tumor.
So then there's no problem, because since...
But at this moment in time, it's still the bones.
I don't know that they're coming alive.
But doesn't matter. At this moment in time, they're bones. The moment has not yet come. He's taking him a yichesko. Look at the bones. Look at them. Touch them. See them. Analyze them. Are they going to come back to life? What do you think, yichesko? So ato your daughter. So during this period of time, he's tame. So what's going on over here? So the answer is, pikuach nefesh. That's a chiddush. Do you say pikuach nefesh when from dead to alive? You say pikuach nefesh when you're alive, when you to prevent death. Person is still alive and he's fizzling out. So then you can do anything you possibly want in the Torah in order to keep him alive. But once the person is dead, do we apply the principle of Tchiyas HaMesim, the pikuach nefesh, to say that you can do an avera? Who says we can apply? You see over here, Machloikis Rishonim, exactly this. And those who are coming to say that with Sav, obviously hold that the principle of Pikuach Nefesh does not work when the person is already dead. The person is already dead, and now I want to bring them back to life. You have no right to violate Halacha. You have no right. Elio was a Kohen? He wasn't a Kohen. Was Elio Pinchas? Elio came from the whole Shiloh with Shevet came. I don't think Pashis now wasn't a Kohen.
Elio was a Kohen? How come it says the Elio on the Hagilodi? If he, what happened? Where were the stories in the Gemara that said that somebody met Elio? It says in the cemetery.
Right.
So the Gemara says,
what are you doing there?
Elio met somebody in the cemetery. He's a Kohen.
What is he doing? Right, exactly. So what is the Gemara answer?
Because maybe the Mandiyama says he was Elio Agilodi.
He wasn't a Kohen. It's a very big shot. I don't think he was a Kohen. I think according to most, he was not a Kohen. I don't know. You say Pinchas Elio, that's a whole Kabbalistic concept. The Pasha says it was not a Kohen Elio. He comes from Gilad.
Yeah, they said it wasn't.
But even so, then you're right. The question is, you want to say he's a Kohen, and what about Elisha? Was he a Kohen? No, L'chor not. Elisha doesn't say he was a Kohen anywhere. So therefore, they can be Mechayim Esim. But if you want to go, but Pasha says a person you see according to the Metzudos, he's working with that presumption. Saviv, Hashem will not allow him to be Metamel Lemes. Oh, why not? Tchias Anesim, Bikoch Nefesh. No. There's no halacha. You're not allowed to do an avera in order to do a mitzvah. The only time you can do an avera to do a mitzvah is only pikuach nefesh. And pikuach nefesh means you're still alive. You're still alive, then you can do anything you possibly want in order to preserve that life. But once the person is dead, and now you want to go bring him back to life, and to bring him back to life, you're going to have to do even a simple avera. You have to talk during davening. During Chazaras Hashatz, you gotta get the special formula of what to say to bring back. No, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. Oh, but it's life. It's all life. No, you're not allowed to be doing avera to do a mitzvah, even to bring back a person to life. The only time is only when the person. Burial, that's a mitzvah.
No, I understand. So maybe you want to say it's unburying.
It's unburying. Okay, but that is the machlokes over here. You're going to come across that. Let's do pass the gimel and the mitzvahs for the other time. Hasichyena. Yecheskel, is it possible? What do you think? Is it possible for me to be Chaim Esim? Who beha she'ela? Ki she'olo inefsha she'yichyu ha'atzamos e'le, can these bones really come back to life? Ato yodata. Now these are very hard words to translate, so it simply means Hashem, you're asking me? You're asking me, can these bones come back to life? You know the answer. You're the all-knowing, the all-powerful. So Mitzuda says, Ato yodata, ka'oime. What he means to say is, hine. Hashem's a trick question. Lefi ha'teva ein makam she'yichyu. According to the laws of nature, the answer is no. These bones cannot come back to life. Ulam, but you're the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's nothing that's withheld from you. Im ulam im ritzoncha sheyichyu hine kein yichyu. They'll come to life. So what are you asking me this question? Umi im kein yodea ritzoncha. Who knows what your will is? Ela ota, you're the only one who knows if you want to do something like this. The im kein yodata im yichyu. It is only you who know if they will come back to life. It's a trick question, and I'm not going to answer your trick question. Let's see the Rashi's. Rashi Pasuk Bey says, "Ve'avirani aleim saviv labika deloy hichniso l'saycha l'fi shahaya koyhein." Okay, on the outskirts, not within the city itself, within the cemetery. Pasuk Gimel hasichyena hanire v'yenecha shiyu hasichyena hanire v'yenecha shiyuchlu lichyos. Hashem is asking Yecheskel, does it appear in your eyes that it's possible to come to life? Okay, does it appear in your eyes?
Do you think
that it can come to life? They can come to life.
Yep.
Okay, over here in my edition, there's the Sifzei Zikadim. He talks about the whole topic of Elio was he a Kohen. I think I even underlined it. Was Elio a Kohen, not a Kohen? He talks about this coming contaminating. Okay, we'll leave that. Let's just do the Radak and we'll stop. Radak, and just very quickly, I'll just do the Radak very quickly. V'havirani, Pasuk Beis in the Radak. V'chol ze b'mara hanavua. Okay, according to the Radak is working with the principle that everything was a vision. Sav, aleim, sav, kidesh, she'ere, oisam, kula, she'ere, see all the dead bodies. U'mashvesh, rashi, sav, labikav, lo, chritza, l'soicha, kidesh, she'lo, yitamo, l'fi, sh'ol, yekoin. So the Radak says, since when did that hold Hashem back? All over Sefer Yecheskel, Hashem told Yecheskel do averos. Hashem told him to shave his payas, to cut off his payas with a razor. Hashem told him, al roish of yal zekanoi, v'chas of al akohanim upaz zekanam lo yigalechu, v'yod haray amay v'yinichin b'sech habika el akol hoy bar nevu v'lo hoy dvor mamish. So according to the answer to the question he's saying over here is that the thing, an amazing idea is that when something is taking place in the Mare of Nevuah, mm-hmm. Hashem can tell you to do an Avera. Isn't that strange? Mm-hmm. When it's in the world of reality, you can't do an Avera. But when it's in the virtual world, it's the world of Nevuah, Hashem can tell you to do an Avera. And that's how the Radak learns all of the Averas in the Sefer. This event never happened. Never really happened. It was all in Mara Nevuah that the dry bones came to life in a Nevuah. And being that it's a Nevuah, Hashem can tell Yecheskel to go into a cemetery. Just like Hashem told Yecheskel to shave off his hair and his beard, which according to most of the Mefarshim, it happened for real. It wasn't a Nevuah. But the Radak says, I prefer the interpretation that it was a Nevuah. And that's why Hashem was allowed him to tell him to do an Avera. Wow. You would not assume that to be correct. If I would assume that the same way Hashem has the rules that you can't do an Avera in the real world, you can't do an Avera in the world of prophecy. But you see from the Radak this principle that no, Hai Lechud v'Hai Lechud. Look at the Malachim. When they came to Moshe, when they came to visit Avram Avinu, what did Avram Avinu feed them? Basar b'cholof. I know you'll give me all the lumish answers. He ate first they gave the basar, and then first the challah, then the challah. Okay, you have all the lumish answers to fataych, why they do that there. The Pashim Shat! Pashim Shat says in the Pasuk, he gave them cheese, right? It says there. Those are all the lumish answers. I know, okay, we have all the lumish. Maybe they waited 6 hours also in between, okay? It was a long day. What?
When did Avraham Avinu have time to salt the meat?
The meat, maybe he did. He was roasted. Salting only takes 18 minutes. Only takes 18 minutes. We're machmir today a half an hour, but Mikra did only need 18 minutes. So what's? Yeah.
That was a mitzvah.
He didn't, oh, no, he never told you. That's the whole idea. He never
the Mara Anavua. Okay? So the Malachim, Malachim had no problem with Kashrus. What's going on? The Malachim had no problem with Kashrus. What about the Malachim going down to Sodom? Pritzos. Sneos. Okay, today you won't even. Today there are people that wouldn't even walk in the street because there are women roaming around. So the malachim walk in the street.
That wasn't the problem.
Okay, so the answer is you see the araya to the radak that when you're in the geder of a navi prophecy and a malach is kula ruchni, the rules of the mitzvah of the Torah don't apply. Basa b'chalaf, you can go to stone. You can go. You can do things that you cannot do when you're living. You're living in a physical existence in this world.
Ramban says it really happened.
But the malachim, the malachim are not real human beings.
It wasn't.
The Ramban.
Yeah, I understand.
So I think it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Rambam says.
Okay, whatever it is. At least we learned this principle that, at least according to Radak, you see a new Yisoid, is that when it's the Olam of Nevuah, you're not bound by the mitzvahs. Torah law. Shocking. Shocking. We would not make that assumption.
When the brothers. That's why
Yisoid. Yeah.
The Rabbi Shalom was the 10th, right?
Yeah.
Was that a mitzvah or was that a
veira? That was an avera.
Why? Your right time joined the
president. No.